Dear friends, we do esteem this a wonderful privilege. Still being able to assemble with you, dear friends, and discuss these wonderful truths which we have. As we sang that wonderful revival hymn, that is supposed to be a revival hymn. I hope it did revive you somewhat. Sometimes it's very difficult to get revived up with any enthusiasm when you may be so full of food. I speak of the literal food, of course. We thought we'd just use the text, Philippians 4:7, which we have at the bottom of our today's program. That is one of the blessings which we were singing about. Just have nice time to touch, as it were, upon one feature of our many, many blessings. Count them over sometime, one by one. You'll be astounded how old you'll be when you get through with them. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The full text. And the peace of God which passeth all human understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Not our understanding. We can understand this. That is one thought which we wish to impress, that this matter of human understanding, you got that wonderful thought of peace. When you look over the world today, how our leaders in the political life, the ministers, the ambassadors, they're all begging for peace because they're scared to death, and I don't blame them too. We could almost be scared when we think of the power of these different instruments of death which is in existence today. All kinds of them. But we are people subject to death. We understand death, life, resurrection. The knowledge we have should indeed give us this which we wish to speak about. And the peace of God. There's another feature which we would speak about in Romans 5:1. Therefore, he says, being justified by faith, what have we got? When once you're justified by faith, we have peace with God. You notice the different little phraseology in these two scriptures. You've got 2 points. These should always be kept in mind. Peace with God and the peace of God. You see, in the one in Philippians, it doesn't say anything about being justified. But this other one does. That's how you can get the peace with God. We were all at enmity with God. Some more and some less. Most of us more, I presume, because we had no doubt, seeing what kind of people we are, we perhaps did have wonderful fleshly minds with wonderful fleshly desires, and no doubt we granted those desires before we got the truth. So that fleshly instinct which was born, bred, and raised in us from little bitsy fellas, that was at enmity with God. So the problem comes then, how can we get Romans 5:1 fulfilled in us? Justified by faith. What kind of faith have you got? Paul asks us, examine yourselves, he says, see whether you're in the faith or not. This thing can be a very fine point of light which we speak of. Justified by faith. Do we know the difference between faith and credulity? Do we know where to draw the line, which is faith and which is imitation, pseudo-faith? Many people think, oh, I got wonderful faith. Yes, there's no doubt if that faith was really examined, it would probably be faith in themselves, mostly. But this faith is faith in this magnificent, glorious, divine plan of the ages. Every feature of this plan of the ages, the faith which we speak of here, reaches right out into every feature of this wonderful plan of the ages. Then you make a thorough, full, no mental reservations in the consecration which is suggested here. You want to be justified by faith when you make your consecration, you've got nothing up in here reserved. Lots of Bible students do that. Oh, I make a mental reservation. They'll consecrate and they'll hold back their children. They'll hold back a little bank account. They'll hold back this, that, and the other. And they'll figure that for the next 20 years they've made a consecration and they're fully justified. No, no, that's not what he's talking about here. Actually, when you examine justification to what it really means, it's a point already attained, not a process of being made right. It's a something that's already attained. Because if you're only in the process of making it, you can't give that to God. He won't accept that. You don't get then the peace with God. Because that's what this scripture suggests, to get the peace with God. Then what do you develop when you've got that? Then this one in Philippians said, we have the peace of God. There's a wide margin between those two, almost, as it were, from pole to pole between them. What is this wonderful peace of God? In the 2 Corinthians, we get a thought there. 16th verse. We'll have to be rather brief. Our time is very limited. We have the mind of Christ. That's what you've got to develop. Otherwise, you can't have the peace of God. Let us follow after the things which make for peace. You ever realize what that statement really means? If you don't go after this thing, seek it and pursue it, says another scripture. Seek peace and pursue it. It don't come your way. You'll get into a fight with the brethren. The brethren get into a fight with you. They'll wag their tongues. And all of a sudden you hear about it. There's no peace somewhere. Somebody's got a mental block in here that can't get rid of it. See? This peace, the peace which God has, that's the thought of the scripture. It's exactly the same peace. Because you've got the peace of God, the same peace God has gotten. How are you going to get that? That's the highest form of peace which it is possible to get, and only a spiritual being can get that. Those who are spiritual, as he tells you in the 2 Corinthians, especially in the Weymouth translation. I speak to you, he says, there's only one spiritual-minded individual to another spiritual-minded. Because those who are in the flesh, they don't understand what this means. You just imagine what the proposition is, that I'll set out in my consecrated life after fulfilling Romans 5:1 to get exactly the same mentality that God has got. I tell you, that's a little proposition to think over. It is possible. That's what he says. Now you take that one element of peace. Is God ever disturbed? Does he get all upset and fussed around with anything? Why, no. And if you've got that peace, you don't get fussed up over anything. Let them say what they like about you. You'll get over it. You'll survive it. Like people with an attack of indigestion, they'll get through it, if they're lucky. But you see, if you've got the right consecration, you'll get through it. You'll survive it. Don't worry about the other fella. Let him worry about himself, or herself, as the case might be. If you've got the peace of God, peace of God. Just imagine really what that means. Isaiah 26:3 is a magnificent expression. What does it say there? Those that have this peace of God, thou, Jehovah God, will keep such a one in perfect peace. Not a little bitty peace. Not a peace that some Tom, Dick, and Harry can come and push it over. No, no. He'll keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Why, isn't that a beautiful scripture? There's our position exactly. Because you trust in God. Your mind. That's where you get the peace. You can have aches all over your body, but back in here, you can get that peace. Peace of God. Thou wilt keep him. Notice who's going to do the keeping. You can't do all this by yourself, no. But this peace, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Mind. We have the mind of Christ, and that mind of Christ was also the mind of Jehovah God. That's why you can be called sons of God, children of God. That's why you can call him our Father, because you've got exactly the same mind as he's got in this respect. You notice some magnificent things in this glorious book. Yes, he is called the God of peace. He's also called the God of war. But we are more particularly interested in the peace features which he had. Have we got that peace? Have we been in the truth now so long? Look at all the years that some of us have been in the truth. Are we sure we've got this thing? Let us make sure we've got this wonderful peace. This peace that passeth all human understanding. Look at what they do to the United Nations. Look at them at Geneva. One peace, we're afraid to drop bombs on us. Well, they don't know peace. They don't understand peace. They don't pursue peace. They go at each other, I want peace, and I get a sword at each other's throat. That's not the way to make peace. Do you know why you've got to have peace? Why you've got to understand this peace of God? Be peace-minded? Very easy when you figure it out. What you got to do in the next age? You know what the Master tells you? In the 5th chapter of Matthew, blessed are the peacemakers. I think the better thought between that situation is that you don't make peace between me and God or our Lord or practically peace between each other. Let everybody fight their own battles in this. It'll help them develop character. But the peace where you'll make peace in the next age between the human race and Jehovah God, that's the kind of peace. That's what you've been trained for. And if you haven't got this peace of God, you just simply can't make peace because you don't know how. That's the beauty of this plan of the ages. It's so educative in every angle. Yes, blessed are the peacemakers, for it is they who will be recognized as the sons of God, says the Weymouth translation. You're not recognized as sons of God now, but you will be in the next age. When you go in to carry out that glorious atonement work, make peace between Jehovah God and the human race. Yes, we can look forward to that. There's one thing as the big leaders of this world, they leave out in all their calculations. When they're looking for peace, they'll get pieces we know, not peace. Pieces and little bits if they keep going where they are, there's no doubt about that. But he tells us that he, our Lord Jesus, is the Prince of Peace. You know that. The Prince of Life. And is also a Prince and a Savior. But he is also the Prince of Peace. How can the nations get peace without the Prince of Peace? They can't get it. That's why we can get peace. Because he is our head. We don't need to do our own thinking. Just think as he thought. Then what do you get? You get his thoughts. Let them become part of you. Saturate yourselves with these things which is written for your sake. We've reached a point now, a point of time. Look at all the years, those who looked for the kingdom in 1914, 1980, that's an age gone by. And look at where we are, we're still at it. We get about as well as we can. And we are still trying to learn these basic principles which Jehovah God has set up for us. Notice what it said there as I quoted. He will keep us in perfect peace. Why? Because our mind is stayed on him. And we trusteth in him. What's the thought behind these words, stayed? You've seen one of these big poles, these metal poles that go way up in the air for receiving or sending the radio, whatever they do that way. And sometimes you see a light on them for guide. Do you ever notice what's holding them up? You'll see 4 to 6 stays going out all around this structure. Because they'd go down with the first breeze if it wasn't for them. And we'd go down with the first breeze, as James suggests, that don't be blown around, he says, by every wind of doctrine. No, no. You get your mind, you get it set, you get it stayed, because it's life and death to you. Let us remember that. It's a matter of life or death to you. So you want these stays set to your mind, because your mind is the same mind that God has, and it's also in the keeping of God. Yes, remember that. Let Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Not just slide around in your hearts, but let him rule in it. You've got to give in to these kind of things. You can't resist these things. Rule in my heart. I could get mad at some people, but I won't. If that peace has got a rule, it cannot be upset in me. I must check it every time, because we've still got some of the old Adamic features in us. But check them. That's the rule of your heart. The rule of my heart must be, this peace, seek peace and pursue it. Yes, that's Psalm 34:14, it tells you that. Let us follow after things which make for peace. Get another thought. Follow holiness, he says, in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Follow holiness and peace, without which none shall see God. It's a funny little statement that when you analyze, there you got a mixture. You've got peace and you've got holiness, and these things must be put together, else nobody says shall see God. And we want to see God, naturally. We want to see him with our spiritual eyes. We want a resurrection, a body that can fellowship with him. That's why you must develop his mind. You can't fellowship with anybody that hasn't got the same mind. You can't do it. Two can't. The thought is brought out. They've got to be agreed when they walk around. Otherwise, they'll get into an argument. Next thing you know, they're having words. And then next thing you know, someone's going to fight. No, no. If we are agreed with God, Jehovah, through his Son, because we have made a full consecration, we've set out right after that to develop this peace of God. Oh, dear friends, we can get in the kingdom. There's nothing to stop us. Surely what little bit we have down here, it is nothing. That's what Paul says so emphatically. The things we've got, the little life we lead, is not to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed in you and I. At the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know that we are in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're all fully aware of that. Yes. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This keep. Strong puts it this way, Strong's Concordance. This thought of keep. It is a watcher. It means to mount guard as a sentinel. Keep with a garrison. Post spies at the gates. Just look at what a situation is. That's the thought of keep. That's just how he's going to keep it. Why? Because you're going to post a garrison. You know what a garrison is? When I was young in Birmingham, England, that was what we call a garrison town. They had artillery and they had cavalry there. They had the hussars and they had the lancers and they had great big cannons and they had light cannons. They had everything. That was a garrison town. All those soldiers was there. Under any emergency, they'd protect that town. There was plenty to protect it. That's the thought Strong gives us relative to this keep. That's how this peace has got to sit there right in front of us all the time and guard us. Especially those who's got a weak heart, you know. You're not supposed to get all stewed up. Let this peace guard you, dear friends, and let it guard me also. I need the self-same guarding for what peace I have, as well as anybody else, but it's a beautiful thing to realize this peace which you and I have developed after all these years of struggle. It's something, you've got it. You've got something. You've got something which can make you so happy if you'll only realize what it is. This glorious peace. Set it like a great big watchdog. Set it, as he says, like a sentinel. Anything that starts to upset you mentally, we're talking about more particularly mentally, because you'll all get pains in the body. We'll get those. Don't matter whether we like it or not. You'll get those, because they're coming to us. We naturally expect them. Young and old, unfortunately, get that. But this is where you've got to watch it. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace when this is stayed on him. Don't get it stayed on anything else. Just let it get stayed so that you can absolutely develop this mind of God. Yes, and that is the message for this evening on that scripture. Yes, 1 Corinthians 2:16. There Paul winds up his little discussion where he's opened up Where he begins, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of man the things that God hath in reservation for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. What's he revealed? He says, yea, not just the surface things, but the very, very deep things of the divine nature is revealed unto us, he tells us. Why? Because you've got the mind of Christ in you. You know, it's almost incomprehensible to think that that you could sit down and develop the mind of God, the mind of Christ. No wonder Paul says you're new creatures. Sure you are. You haven't been used up at all yet. It'll take eons and ages to use us up in the glorious ages to come when we all get that wonderful body which will function. That's why you've got to develop this peace, because you're a peacemaker. Yes, you can't skip that item in this development. Peace, you've got to have it. If you haven't got it, you're out. That's what he says. Develop this peace and holiness without which, he says, none shall see the Lord. Quarter two.
Now, a chairman is something necessary evil. Has to be. We wish time at times would just stand still, but it doesn't.
Our gracious Almighty Father in heaven, in the name of thy beloved Son Jesus, we bow at thy throne at this moment to thank you, dear Father, for thy wonderful plan. We pray indeed, dear Father, that we should each one of us develop that wonderful peace which is so acceptable to thee. Help each one of us, dear Father, to strive for these things, because we know that they are of thee. They are of thy character, thy wonderful justice, wisdom, love, and power. We ask, dear Father, thy special help at this time. Bless each heart bowed before thee now. Bless us as we further wait before thee in this convention. Again, thanking you for this privilege, we ask that thou accept this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.